Those 50 workers still at the Fukushima nuclear power plant in Japan, who withdrew for a time because of a surge in radiation, have gone back in. True heroes, because, of course, they're at the most risk. But risk of what? We're, of course, going to keep an eye on developments at the plant, where fire trucks have arrived from U.S. military bases in that effort to get cooling water on rods in both the reactor cores and a storage pool for spent fuel. But meanwhile, what exactly are the health effects of exposure to radiation coming from those rods? We all get low doses of radiation when we fly, and as listeners have pointed out, when people have cancer treatments. But what about huge doses? A study of 86,000 survivors of Hiroshima has found that relatively few, 500, died of radiation-related cancer. Are there longer-term effects? Dr. David Brenner is professor of radiation biophysics and director of the Center for Radiological Research at Columbia University. He joins us. And Dr. Brenner, we know a big question is how radiation is dispersed. You know, does it blow out to sea? But you also say that radiation for cancer care is targeted at cells you want to kill, that these people in Japan are getting whole-body radiation?
At the very bottom line, what radiation can do is damage our DNA and cause cells to either mutate and die or mutate and ultimately cause cancer.
Well, then we understand it's important to understand what's in the radiation. Tell us about what some of the particles in the radiation can do.
Well, in fact, the products of nuclear fission, the fission products, as we call them, are actually very complicated. Radioactive iodine, well, that is taken up preferentially in our thyroids, so we're always concerned about radiation-induced thyroid cancer. Radioactive iodine is in the atmosphere and it's been emitted from the reactors. It falls to the ground, and if a cow happens to be eating some grass where the radioactive iodine has fallen, the radioactive iodine gets concentrated in the milk. The milk becomes radioactive. If you drink the milk, then you're going to end up with radioactive iodine in your thyroid. So the simple solution for the iodine problem, and it's unique to the iodine issue, is don't drink the milk.
Well, or also we understand that pills can be distributed, and people here in the U.S. who live near nuclear power plants have stashes of potassium iodide pills, which can apparently block this uptake of radioactive iodine. And in the case of Chernobyl, the biggest criticism is that the government there didn't tell people not to drink the milk.
You're absolutely right. Well, it was actually more general than that at Chernobyl. The government didn't tell anyone there was an accident for a week. And one of the consequences of that is that people drank the milk, and therefore we actually do have an epidemic of thyroid cancer in Ukraine and in Belarus right now. In my view, in fact, the potassium iodide tablets, well, they don't do any harm, but they're not actually that useful. Simply not drinking the milk does the job.
Well, and tell us more. How can people in Japan right now get sick? How might they get radiation sickness because of the releases that we're hearing about now?
At high doses, essentially what radiation can do is damage some of the key organs in our body. And the two that are always the biggest concern are the blood-forming organs. That's the bone marrow, which creates blood cells, and also the lining of the gut, the gastrointestinal system. And that gets damaged. That's very sensitive to radiation.
We know that, you know, there are symptoms of radiation sickness when you can actually, you know that you have it, nausea and vomiting.
Right.
Is this kind of sickness you're talking about, does that come immediately?
Again, it depends very much on the radiation dose that you get. The higher the dose, the earlier the symptoms will appear. But if you get a very high dose, yes, very shortly after the exposure, you'll get diarrhea and vomiting and some of these extreme symptoms. And typically then, the exposed individual will stabilize, and the real crisis actually comes probably something like a week or 10 days later. So the key during that period is very, very intense and careful nursing, because what people who get very high doses of radiation die of is infection, essentially.
And what are the problems for people who might be getting low doses of radiation? We understand that these are more long-term problems.
Yes, you're absolutely right. The general population who are certainly now being exposed to radiation, but at least at the moment, it's at pretty low levels of radiation. The concerns there are not short-term. They're unlikely to, or almost impossible that there can be any short-term effects there. The long-term risks are of radiation-induced cancer. We all have the potential to get cancer. 40% of us are all going to get cancer. 20-25% of us are going to die of cancer. And what radiation does is basically increase those numbers very very slightly, it must be said. And it's also very long-term. And most cancers that are produced by radiation don't appear for 10, 20, 30 years after the exposure.
Can the people living in the danger zone near the plant really reduce their risk of being radiated by remaining indoors?
Well, to some extent. There are basically two pathways. One is that you actually breathe in the radioactive materials, and I think staying indoors is not going to help so much there. But the other way is that the radioactive particles can fall to the ground, they can fall on your skin, they can fall on your clothes, and then they can emit radiation from those locations. And by staying indoors, the idea is that you can prevent that to some extent.
Can you really wash it off? We remember the film Karen Silkwood, and we hear that U.S. troops now in Japan are having radiation washed off of them. Can you really wash with water and soap and take it off?
That is basically dust to which radioactive particles have attached themselves. So the answer is yes. Remove the clothes, take a shower, and that will indeed remove the dust to which the radioactive particles are attached. What's going to happen over the next few days is really going to determine whether this is a really serious incident or not. I don't think, despite all the hype in the media, I don't think we quite know yet quite whether there's going to be large radiation exposures to the general population or not. My guess is that there's going to be some, but I think it's certain that it's nothing like the Chernobyl story.
Dr. David Brenner, professor of radiation biophysics and director of the Center for Radiological Research at Columbia University. Dr. Brenner, thank you so much.
My pleasure.